You are listening to the Delay and Pray podcast, episode number 69.
Welcome to the Delay and Pray podcast, where certified Catholic and weight loss coach Beth Bubick teaches you how to permanently lose weight through spiritual fasting. Get ready to gain faith and lose weight through a joyful transformation of both body and soul. Now, your host, Beth, the Catholic Fasting Coach.
Welcome back. Oh, this week I am back in the podcast with our three-part series with Father Logan Parrish, the amazing pastor of St. Thomas the Apostle Catholic Church in Elkhart, Indiana. And we're going to continue on with our discussion on the second part of the quote and prayer from St. Peter Chrysologus. And this one is on fasting. Let me review the quote for you so that you know it from last week. And that quote is, "Prayer knocks, fasting obtains, and mercy receives." And the second part is fasting obtains. This is my favorite subject, and this is what we're going to talk about today. Fasting obtains. How interesting. Let's take a look at what St. Peter meant by this part of the quote. I know it is going to be a fascinating discussion because Father Logan is so very gifted with both intelligence and wisdom when it comes to the great saints. So I began seriously spiritual fasting 4 years ago after attending the Life Coach School and Catholic Life Coaching. And after learning the effects of daily consumption of sugar, white flour, and alcohol on both my body and soul, I thought, oh my goodness, I can totally learn how to delay those until Sundays. So I started doing that, fasting from them during the week and putting my body into a really healthy state of metabolic flexibility. Now, I didn't do this all at once. Sometimes I did plan in a dessert after a meal during the week or a drink on a special occasion, such as an anniversary or birthday, when I began. Now I can pretty much make it through the week without sugar, flour, and alcohol, but you know, it was just a start and a good regimen to use to start the fasting. And that's what we have to do. We have to start small. So by doing this, not only did I become healthy in body, but I was led to way more prayer due to hunger, which is really more mental than physical. And I was drawn to the sacraments. And that's what we're going to talk when we get to the mercy section, is how the sacraments just draw you into mercy. Not just for the Lord, but from the Lord. It's just amazing. So these sacraments were really my sugar, right? They were my sweetness. They were my comfort instead of the false comfort of sugar, flour, and alcohol. Miracles started to happen in my life and in the lives of my family too. Pregnancies, healthy babies born, sicknesses healed, job promotions granted, financial crises alleviated, housing situations solved, and just dreams coming true, and so much more. All things aligning with God's will and granted from the Father with the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. All intentions just lifted up to God, offering all parts of my life to Him for the reparation of sin and just for the love of Him as well. So fasting with prayer is just a miraculous combination. Now, fasting without prayer is just wasteful in my book. Dry Januaries without a spiritual intention or offering to Jesus, I think, misses the point of this life, which is to be lived for others and for the glory of God. That's charity. Everything you do should be offered to God for a spiritual purpose. Our whole life can be an offering. Isn't this phenomenal? I mean, it is. God is so generous. So St. Peter goes into even more detail with that quote that I started out with as he writes, "Let us offer our souls in sacrifice by means of fasting. There is nothing more pleasing that we can offer to God, as the psalmist said in prophecy. A sacrifice to God is a broken spirit. God does not despise a bruised and humbled heart." Prayer with fasting does indeed cause a humble and contrite heart because you know what happens? You start to fail more often than not. And then what happens is you get back up. You seek help from the Father. You seek reasoning behind the failure, like, how could I do better? How can I improve? And then you try to get to that root cause of the sin. Not on my own, by the way, but in adoration and in the confessional with the help of Jesus. The confessional is essential to fasting. It cleanses me of my sin that is blocking me from going through with my beautiful plans of prayer and fasting. I cannot tell you how sacraments are so necessary to prayer and fasting. So when I follow a regimen of spiritual fasting with the delay and pray method, I realize I'm stepping into a very holy space where God can work through me, transforming me from the inside out. It's about the food and the prayer. You need both. Have you actually stopped to think about what you consume on a daily basis? And is it glorifying God? I had to really think about that. I mean, is it beneficial for both my body and my soul? Both need to be considered here. On the one hand, we need not drop the substances of sugar, flour, and alcohol together. I mean, they're predominantly pretty good. You know, they're neutral. It's just how you use them, right? So we don't need to drop them altogether from life, but just limit them in an appropriate manner. Take them in moderation. But then if they still remain attachments, then, well, we may want to abstain from them for quite a while until you no longer desire them so strongly. This is the space, as I said before, of moderation. This is the space that obtained food freedom for me and a slowing down of that gluttony and sloth and turning those vices into virtue. And that is a miracle in itself. And St. Peter, he continues like this. So if you pray, fast. If you fast, show mercy. If you want your petition to be heard, hear the petition of others. If you do not close your ear to others, you open God's ear to yourself. When you fast, see the fasting of others. If you want God to know that you are hungry, know that others are hungry. If you hope for mercy, show mercy to others. If you look for kindness, show kindness to others. And if you want to receive, give. I love all of this. Wow. I mean, these are just amazing words of wisdom from this great saint. So let's get into our discussion with Father Logan. Welcome back, Father Logan. Are you ready for round two?
Happy to be here. Thank you, Beth.
Awesome. 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 So a lot of people think that fasting is like water all day, and that's not what it has to be. Fasting is going without food for a specific period of time. In the Catholic Church, there's really 2 days of fasting and abstinence, and that's Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. And we know what that is. One normal meal and two small meals, not to equal one normal meal, which is interesting. I think it's a great baseline, but I think it's soft. And you and I can talk about that, Father Logan, because everybody's normal meal is different. Is it, you know, drive through at McDonald's?
That's true. Sandwich, that's true.
Fish sandwich, large Coke, French fries? or what is it?
So that's real. That's real.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So true. It's really funny. So we have these conversations in my group experience that I teach. But let me tell you, real fasting, like going 12 hours, 16 hours, 20 hours without food or bread and water, if you want to fast the Medjugorje way, it's a miraculous combination. And I'm telling you, you know, intermittent fasting without prayer is, to me, it's wasteful because, you know, if you put a spiritual intention or offering to Jesus, that just elevates it to something that's beautiful and holy for others and for the glory of God. So what are your thoughts on spiritual fasting?
My push, and especially in the confessional, when I encounter people who are really struggling with sinful habits, I'll usually ask, are you fasting? And when they say no, I'll recommend just really beginning with Wednesdays and Fridays and to deny themselves in some way. And so if you were going to look at it then sort of an image, first one I would use is maybe going back to that hiking image. When I'm hiking up the mountain, as I learned on my vacation, I needed to pack food. I didn't pack any food. I thought I had ate a big lunch, not good enough. What I consumed mattered for the whole hike. What we consume matters, whether that's food, whether that's drink, and whether that's screens, the content we consume. And so certainly, again, just a real push on we are bodily beings. And when it comes to the food and drink, that's actually where fasting begins. We don't want to forget that sort of fasting because we're avoiding media, so to speak. I think there's a lot of us, including myself, that need to do some media fasting. But we don't want to forget the bodily fasting. We are bodily creatures. That's always the emphasis of Jesus. That's the emphasis of the church. Remember Jesus in the desert, 40 days and 40 nights, until the scripture says Jesus was hungry. And that's actually where the temptation comes in, is only when Jesus hungers. That's when the devil arrives at his point of weakness. And so I would just like, I always insist upon bodily fasting or all my penitents who really want to break through some habits. Even if it's, you know, cold showers, again, that's bodily, right? We're affecting the body. So as to say no to these little ways, so that when the temptations come, as they came for Jesus, we can say no in the bigger ways, the more important ways. Yeah, so that's where I would begin with bodily fasting, especially the breaking of sinful habits. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Freedom.
You know, it's funny. Ages ago, I used to go into the confessional and confess, like, I would be looking at a list of vices, and I'd be like, well, gluttony and sloth. And then I realized that my diet, I was on all these diets. I was just on all these diets. I was 30 pounds heavier than I was, and I wasn't able to fast because I was just consuming a lot of sugar, which, you know, for me, just, you know, just made me over hungry, gave me over desire for sugar, just, and then caused me to overeat. And so I just started slow. I started with like a 12-hour fast, which was like 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. And then on Wednesdays and Fridays, I would be a little bit more severe. And I just started giving up meat on Wednesdays and Fridays. And then I just slowly went into like a 14, 16 hour. I just kind of slowly went into that, just denying myself the sugar and the flour. And then the alcohol followed. Because what I found out with alcohol is that if you want a couple of glasses of wine on Tuesday night, unfortunately, you may want some crackers and cheese with that. Like, oops.
That's true.
Yeah. So I just scooted that. I scooted that out. Also, it was interfering with my Friday fasts as I came down this fasting road, this journey. And that was really hard to give up alcohol on Friday nights. I just wanted my couple glasses of wine. And when I finally offered that up for, I pray actually for priests. I fast for priests, good men, and anyone struggling with alcohol on Fridays. And so I haven't had a drink in Fridays since like December of 2022. And those are my fasting day for priests. So when I tell you I'm fasting for you, I'm fasting for you. And it's not easy. We have a boat and I'll be out there and I'll be like, I'm not drinking, but it's not fun sometimes, but it's fasting. It's supposed to be hard sometimes. And so, and I actually enjoy it. I actually enjoy it now. So why do you think fasting obtains, as it says?
Yes. So besides the breaking of my own sinful habits, I remember Adam and Eve, they weren't asked to fast in the garden. So because they weren't so badly attached to material things, we are. So Jesus insists. He doesn't say if you fast, he says when you fast, right? So this is a normal part of Christian life, an expectation of the Lord. And so what does it do? So Jesus, when he speaks of fasting, he says, when you fast, fast in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. All right, hard pause there. Okay. Jesus seems to think that we need to fast for payment, for a sort of celestial, a heavenly payment. Now, what is he going to get after here? Because I thought we were supposed to do good things just because they're good. No, that's God's job. We always do good things because we get something out of it. Hopefully something good. So we don't want to actually replace God here. That's another great writer said, stop doing good things for no reason. That's not real. You're not being sincere. You're replacing God. So when we fast, we do so actually expecting a heavenly payment, one that might be repaid in secret or at the end of my life. But in my experience, we get to see a lot of the payment here as you've experienced and as I've experienced. And so fasting obtains. It reminds me of St. John Vianney, particularly. He's the patron of priests, and about 150 years ago, he was sent to the little village parish in a place called Ars, France. And there, he would hear confessions for 16 to 18 hours every day. And sure enough, he really transformed lives, and to the point that there was a railroad station built to the little village to accommodate so many pilgrims coming and wanting to have their confessions heard by John Vianney. And at some point, someone asked him, John, what is your secret? How have you changed your parish so quickly and so dramatically? How are so many people leaving you changed? And he said, truly, John Vianney said, I offer to God my hunger, my thirst, and my sleep, the three things that are sort of needed to survive, right? And he, you know, he offered that suffering, and he had his own bowel difficulties with his digestive system, and the devil bothered him constantly while he slept. So he gave it to the Lord. And that's how so many were converted. So fasting obtains. That was very much true for John Vianney.
Oh my goodness. That is beautiful. And I know in my own life, it's been a journey. But right now, what's happening to me is my heart is becoming a little bit more pure. I'm becoming detached from material things. Some of the things I used to, I don't know, just really want, they're not so important anymore. I'm more on a spiritual journey. So I do believe it. We do become kind of free from the inner pressure of wanting more, more, more.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does purify. So it must obtain some kind of grace somewhere along the line. Also, I've just become a more mild-mannered person. I have a personality that's like a choleric and sanguine. You know, I like to party and... But at the same time, you know, I could get pretty upset about things. And I notice now through more frequent confession, by the way, for sure, and just the fasting and the sacraments, it does balance your emotions. Hmm. You're able to feel an emotion. In the Life Coach School, they used to say overeating equals underfeeling. And that's a very secular way of thinking about it, but it does. It's just false comfort. So now, if I'm feeling something that's just like really sad, or, you know, something's happening in my life, you know, if somebody's upset, a child is upset, or my husband or something's going on, instead of going to a glass of wine or instead of going to food, I will often just literally, I have to kind of lay down. So like I'll lay down on the floor if no one's here, and I'll just grab my rosary and I'll just feel it. And I'll put my hand over my heart and I'll just like, you know, this is sadness. And I will pray about it because there are some things I can't control. So it doesn't behoove me to do anything but pray.
That's true.
So it's just praying and fasting has just, to me, just brought me to the Lord is just working more easily through me. I'm letting him work through me. Not a perfect person whatsoever, but just on this journey has been just a beautiful, beautiful experience. And it's hard. It's challenging. So that's, I love it. Any parting words for the fasting obtains?
I would say too, as we continue our farming image, I would say that, you know, prayer is like the planting of a seed. Like that's the planting of desire. We're doing our part. It's an act of faith, confident expectation that the Lord will answer the seed that I planted before him. But fasting really is the tilling of the soil at the same time. So it's sort of the tilling. So it's getting rid of any rocks that are in the way, any sort of roots or any weeds. And so when we speak of the word, the virtue temperance, it really is seeking the freedom so that I can love well. Mm-hmm. I think your experience of sort of like eating instead of feeling, there's another image of in a world that's inundated, like really like a flood of comforts. We humans really, we weren't made for this much comfort. We're like cacti. We're made for the desert. We're not used to this. And so actually a cactus, when it's given too much water, what happens? It dies. And so fasting actually puts us sort of in the proper context and the proper relationship with the comforts around me so that I don't die. Again, sort of a survival image. And so prayer is the planting of a seed, and fasting tills the land so that the seed can really find some deep roots. And the second thing I'd say is just is a short little word that's similar to fasting obtains. Fasting adds a sort of weight behind our prayer. So when we lift it to the Father, it just has a certain weight behind it. Just to say, like, I'm invested in this desire, Lord. Like, this is costing me something. I want it to. Not that I'm proving myself to the Lord. I just want you to know, like, this is a real need, and this really matters to me so much so it matters more than meat today or sweets today or wine today. Just it adds a certain weight to our prayer. That's all it did.
So true. So true. Also, when you're talking about the cacti that die.
Yeah.
When we flood our bodies with sugar and flour and alcohol, and then we go sit on the couch, which is the
smoke, sure. That's real.
We get diabetes. It's at an all-time high. Obesity at an all-time high. And so it's a problem. Problem in both body and soul. And isn't it beautiful that the Lord is so generous that if you fast, not only do you get soulful benefits, but you get bodily benefits. You get the whole schmear.
No, it's meant to. Yeah.
He's so generous.
It's meant to be good, right?
It's meant to be good. Oh, I love all of these examples. Okay, well, this second episode is great, Father Logan. Thank you so much for the discussion. And I look forward to moving on to Mercy to end the 3-part series next week.
Thank you, Beth.
I hope you enjoyed this podcast with Father Logan. If you did, please subscribe and even leave a 5-star review if you wouldn't mind, so others will hear the great message of spiritual fasting, get healthy, lose weight, and get back to the sacraments this year. Have a great week, my friends, and I will talk to you next week. May God bless you and keep you always. If you are interested in learning more about spiritual fasting and permanent weight loss, then come join my course, Delay and Pray, a guided course for weight loss through spiritual fasting. You won't go through it alone either. I will be there to coach you every step of the way. This is a group coaching program where you are part of an amazing community of like-minded Catholics who have the same goal as you, to bring about miracles while losing that weight permanently through spiritual fasting. Your purchase includes an online course detailing what spiritual fasting is, how to do it, and all the tools you need to get you the results you're longing for. Head over to my website right now at thecatholicfastingcoach.com and get the details on how to join. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, and LinkedIn to always get the latest daily information to help you keep fasting, my friends. Can't wait to see you in there. May God bless you and keep you always.